when we started, I used this parable to launch our series on the parables recently in Nina, and I called it Pursuing Gospel Treasure. And it's we'll read it in a minute. I just want to, I love the parables, and I love the way Jesus used earthly illustrations to illustrate spiritual kingdom truth. And we'll see that as we go. I want to take you back, first of all, though, to the mists of time, if you like. Long ago, whether you know it or not, there were certain segments of the community that were named differently from other people. They were a motley crew. They sailed the high seas, and they were greatly feared. And there was they were given some fascinating names. Now, let me give you a few of them now. There was people named Redbeard, Bootstrap Bill Turner. There was people named Captain Hook, Gunpowder Gertie, Blackbeard, Bully Hayes, Davy Jones, Long John Silver, and Barbarossa and his brother, and a few of those other names you'll probably remember from some of your pirate tales. But in those days, trust was a rare commodity. Acquiring wealth was one thing, but holding on to it was another thing altogether. The pirates were notorious, weren't they, for betrayal, and especially if riches were involved. In fact, there was so much, you know, looking over the shoulders to be done, that some pirates even had a parrot on their shoulder just to keep an eye out. So if you as a pirate had acquired considerable wealth, the only safe place for it was to bury it in an unknown site. So at the dead of night, you could see pirates going out with a carefully drawn map, identifying where they put it and burying their treasure so that it would be safe there and no one would find it. You'll probably recognize this character if you're into films or anything. This is Captain Jack Sparrow. But what also happened, I'm told, that many times pirates died and the treasure remained buried. And when people like Captain Jack Sparrow came along in his entertaining whales, he would come to steal the treasure maps of these deceased pirates and find their buried treasure and claim the loot for themselves. So that's a little history of pirates, if that helps. But let me read now what Jesus said in Matthew 13. I think actually I probably have it up there for you if you want. It's just three verses I want you to focus on, whether you want to find it in your own Bibles or look at it up there. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." It's probably a familiar parable to you, and we'll read it a couple of times as we look at different aspects of it. The first thing I want you to note is that there are different discovery paths to this gospel treasure. There's two paths that Jesus mentions here. It's also interesting that in ancient Palestine, burying valuables in jars in the ground was a common phenomenon in ancient Palestine, because they had frequent invasions, and therefore actually it was the only safe place they could keep their valuables as well from invaders, was to bury their valuables in jars in carefully selected locations, so that when the invasions came and went, they still had their valuables. And it's so it's actually extremely plausible that Jesus uses this argument to the Palestinian audience, as you'd expect. He starts off, doesn't he? A laborer is working in a field. He stumbles upon the hidden treasure of immense value. Wow, so there's this imagery that there are those that are going along in life. Let me just check my slide. I think there's the buried treasure there. But there's the illustration that there's people there going along in life minding their own business, when out of the blue, all of a sudden, they are confronted with this treasure of immense value that they didn't expect. And of course, the treasure chest represents the gospel of life that we have. To some people, the treasure of the knowledge of God's kingdom comes as a complete shock. They had never explored the claims of Jesus before, and they certainly didn't expect them to make sense. But here they are, suddenly stumbled upon the truth of God's word and his gospel. Maybe they stumble upon you in your community. Maybe they stumble across us in Nina. They stumble across a credible Christian witness, and they think, maybe there's something worth looking into here. And they realize, they explore, they uncover this treasure of true value. And it begins to dawn on them just how valuable this is. And they take action. And there's another path of discovery there, which is the merchant with the rarest of pearl. I need a different path of discovery, because the merchant is on this lifelong search for the rarest of pearls. Fine pearls are very rare indeed, and it often took a lifetime of searching to know and appreciate just the very best. And the passage suggests that this merchant was on a quest for that one in a million pearl. It seems to indicate that there are those that are on a spiritual quest. They're searching and looking for God in all sorts of places. You'll know people like that in this town, in this city today. Perhaps they've had years of disappointment of looking for God in all the wrong places, and with all the misunderstandings and harmful things that go with that. Perhaps at times they've nearly despaired, but at last their search is rewarded when the pearl of great price is before them, and here is Jesus. So no matter how the gospel is discovered, in both counts it brings great joy to the finder. And as I say, you will know lots of people, as I do, some who search for God, others who don't. And I don't know what path you took, whether you stumbled across the value of the gospel or whether you searched hard and long for it. But either way, we come to realize the treasure of God's kingdom in our hearts. And our mandate, isn't it, is to go and to show other people where the treasure can be found, and to share the joy of this salvation. So that's a couple of the discovery paths, if you like, that are mentioned in this parable. Second point I want to make is just the infinite value of the treasure and the pearl. You can imagine, I'm sure you've seen some of those films where Jack Sparrow opens the treasure chest and his eyes light up out of his head, you know, and he just feasts his eyes on the value of what's inside the chest that he's found. And what's clear from both of these situations in the parable and what Jesus said is that the treasure and the pearl are both worthy of closer attention. A fair point. I think of the parable again there, you know, treasure hidden in a field and a pearl of great value are the two comments I want to focus on in this bit. If you were to unearth a treasure chest like a pirate, which one of us couldn't resist to open the lid? You can see yourself, can't you, opening the lid and flicking through the gold coins and picking up the gold goblets and going, wow, look at that, you know, and shining it up and having a look at it. You know, I think most of us would be in that category. You'd be, and I think that's the point Jesus is making. He's saying, if we were into treasure, we would know about the value of that. We'd be taking our little guy coins down to the antique roadshow and saying, no, what's that worth, like, in today's money? And if you're a merchant who is into the finery of pearls, now I don't know diddly squat about pearls, but I'm sure that someone that does would gaze at these pearls under a microscope just to ascertain how valuable they really are. And that's what's in picture here, isn't it? The phrase, the kingdom of heaven, he's saying that this is the treasure and the hidden pearl is like the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus began his ministry, he declared to Mark that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It's close. It's ready to burst into life now that Jesus was on the scene. And the kingdom is an area and a domain where Jesus rules, where he reigns. So the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price is where is represented, isn't it? It's the gospel message, which is the entrance into God's kingdom and the place where God rules. So the place where God gives forgiveness of sins, the acceptance by God as heirs to his throne, as friends of God. This is the treasure. This is the pearl of the great message of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. That he saves us. He forgives us. He wipes the slate clean. And he makes his home with us. It's staggering news. And we mustn't ever forget that this is worthy of closer attention than even what you or I are giving it this morning. Nowhere else can we have our slate wiped clean when we don't deserve it. There's nowhere else in this world where there's power to change destructive behavioural patterns, often habits of a lifetime. There's no one else who will love us back to life like Jesus. And therefore, we mustn't undervalue the treasure and the hidden pearl that is the gospel and what we find in Jesus Christ this morning. Ultimately, Jesus, I think, is making a startling commentary regarding the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, Jesus, who is the truth, he's claiming that nothing compares to his kingdom. Nothing compares to his rule, to his transformation. If all the earth's riches were placed in a treasure chest, they would not be capable of bringing the richness and the fulfillment that God's kingdom potentially brings us. If all the value of the universe could be placed in a pearl, it'd be more worth our while discarding the pearl, but seeking the treasure and the pearl in Jesus Christ. And I think that's the point he's making. Jesus said in John's Gospel that this is eternal life, to know God. And that begins now, and it goes on through eternity. And that is the treasure, that's the pearl, and it's sort of infinite value. Can you imagine then, I know this is a bit hard and I have a bit of a warped mind, but can you imagine being a treasure chest with feelings? Probably not. But if you could imagine being a treasure chest with feelings, can you imagine how you would feel if Captain Jack Sparrow walked up to you as a treasure chest, looked inside and then thought, doesn't matter, no, I'll go on, I'll get something over here, and just ignores you. And yet that is precisely what many people in this world do with Jesus, isn't it? They look, give a cursory look or cursory glance to the claims of Christ and think, no, it's not for us. We'll walk away. And tragically, many people are in that camp in our world today. There's a favourite advert of mine at the moment. You might have seen it, for Specsavers, which is for glasses. And there's this woman that needs a pair of glasses. And her fiance, well, her boyfriend is there in front of her, and she's there on the lake shore, and she's skimming stones into the water. And foolishly, her husband, obviously knowing that her eyesight's not great, proposes to her. He bends down on one knee and gives her a ring. And in her blindness or lack of eyesight, she goes, "Oh, that's good." And skims the ring across the water. But isn't that what many people do with the gospel? They look at it, give it a quick glance and think, no, it's probably not for me. And throw it away, discard it. And tragic, and it's a tragedy of our world. John Piper says this, that speaking about Jesus, that he is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And you get that picture from the treasure, don't you? If we really value the treasure of Jesus and his person and his friendship, then we will be satisfied in him. We will immerse ourselves in him. We will feast on him and his gospel. And I think that's an amazing, insightful comment from John Piper, and he's many of such statements. So one of the big challenges of this parable for me is, do we value the gospel? Do we value Jesus as highly as we should? Do we gaze at God's beauty day and night? Do we plumb the depths of his word to get a greater glimpse of God? And do we allow him to transform us? And do we proclaim that to other people and point them to the great treasure that we have And that's the challenge, isn't it? And then finally, so that's the infinite value of the treasure and the pearl. And then finally, sorry, the font has gone funny on this, so I'm struggling to read it there. But yeah, both exchanged everything for the true treasure. If you look at both men, the laborer who stumbled upon the treasure, hidden treasure, and the merchant who searched high and low for the pearl, both exchanged everything for the true treasure. Now you might be sitting there this morning thinking to yourself, well, Matt, that sounds fairly plausible, but you don't really see what I'm going through, and you know, this is going on and that's going on, and I'm unable to commit myself to God in that sort of abandoning way at present, or maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know, the treasure you talk about has never felt that valuable to me in my life. And at that point, I have in my sermon notes, gulp. In a sense that, and I think we've all questioned that at times, and I'm not pointing the finger, because I think I have questioned that at times, and you wonder, how valuable has this been to me? Other things seem so important at times. Is that right? And I suppose the point we're making then, the problem when we go down that road is what we're really asking is, was Jesus exaggerating? And I think most of you agree, well, no, he can't say that. So, no, he mustn't have been exaggerating. So what's going on? So let's explore just a little bit. I think we have a couple of things in bold there again. The man who found the hidden treasure, he sold everything he had and bought that field. The one who found the pearl of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought the pearl. I want you to notice the response both men had to this treasure, this pearl. The man who stumbled upon it quietly went away, sold everything he had on the sly to purchase the field where he knew the treasure was, because nothing else mattered. The merchant was willing to pay a high price for that one pearl. So there was extraordinary determination exercised to secure the treasure, because they understood the value of it. Now, it's a parable. We can't push things too far. We know from the rest of the gospel that the kingdom of God is a gift and cannot be earned. So we mustn't push it and make out they're paying for this, because that's not what's going on. But there is a price to be paid, isn't there? Jesus called it the cost of discipleship. John Piper said, one of the commentators said this, that I say one of the commentators because I can't pronounce his name. He said, the kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship. And those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. I think it's a very helpful comment in this regard. Can I put it to you that the true value of the gospel treasure will only be fully recognized when we abandon everything else to secure it? So what I say to people and myself when I think the treasure, maybe it doesn't seem as valuable as that to me, may I boldly suggest that that's maybe because you and I haven't abandoned everything to pursue it. And only then will we realize that it is as valuable as Jesus says it is, and that he's not exaggerating. Does that make sense? Jesus called his disciples, and he calls us to follow him, not from a distance, not half-heartedly, not only when we think someone is watching us, but calls us to follow him wholeheartedly, all the time. John Piper, in a book called Don't Waste Your Life, it's a great read if you like books, but he says, if you live gladly to make others glad in God, your life will be hard, your risks will be high, and your joy will be full. And I know after 10 years in Nina, for us as a couple, there are times we've had tears. We've had real struggles. It's been a real battlefield. And there's times, if we're honest, we've wanted to run away. But I can say too that our joy has been full to see what God can do through lives just given to him and offered to him, and to see what can take place and what God does in our hearts and our lives. But it's not, if you're going to follow God, it's not going to be easy. In fact, I can guarantee it'll probably be very hard, but it'll be rewarding. And there's a lovely comment I came across. C.H. Spurgeon called this passage the Great Bargain. And James Boycey, one of the commentators, said this, that you must not think, if you are teetering on the brink of following, that having renounced everything else for Jesus, you will one day find yourself disappointed at what will have proved to be a bad bargain. So what he's saying is that Jesus is not exaggerating. He is the hidden treasure. He is the great pearl. And if you renounce everything to follow him, he's basically making the point that there is not the slightest iota of a chance that you will be disappointed that you made the wrong decision. Because at the end of time, we will be vindicated for abandoning everything to follow Jesus. So in other words, I don't think we can judge the extreme value of this gospel treasure until we have abandoned everything else to seek it. Until we are mad about God, until we are consumed with passion for his honor and for his glory, until everyone around us hears and is pointed to our great God. I think only then, when we risk everything for him, will we know its true value and know the value of Jesus and all that he is. So I'll leave you with a verse from Jesus, that Jesus said in Matthew, for where your treasure is there your heart will be also.